That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Hello and welcome to the first episode of, what do we even call this, Tara?
I was going to ask you, what is the name?
It doesn't have a name yet, I don't think. I believe there were some suggestions TNA. I think it was like Jugs and Fried Eggs was thrown out there.
Shocking.
Yeah, so.
I can't believe they would suggest anything like that.
Right?
That doesn't sound
Bubba Army-esque at
right.
all. But it is so refreshing to talk to a female. There's no estrogen in this building at all. And I think you were saying the same thing at your
yes.
place of work.
Yes.
But I mean, as you know, because you worked here and you're also related to Bubba the Love Sponge, this is a fucking frat house circus.
You are a special breed to
you.
Be able to walk into this situation.
Yeah.
Understand all of, you know, Bubba has his own language.
Right.
And the Bubba Army, they have their own language.
They sure do.
I mean, they're amazing. I love the Bubba Army.
Sure, but they can be rough on
they
you as well
rough.
When they're not happy about
very
things.
Very rough. And that learning curve is normally takes a lot longer for somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You were able to hit the, well, I mean, you had radio chops. So, you know, that definitely played in your favor. But regardless, being able to understand the humor and... I didn't have chat was when I was on the air, but
okay.
So that's right. You know, when Twitter, you've heard about Bubba's Twitter wars and
yes.
how he's
basically banned
had
from Twitter forever, which
yes.
is great because I keep getting in trouble via Twitter. So it's nice
you know,
that my
that's
boss
why I
doesn't
hate
have
social media now because of this show. To be honest with you, like social media for me was great initially because I was able to reconnect with like. Exactly
people
what
from
it's
high
meant
school
for,
and,
right?
Right, right.
College, high school, and now these people are a big part of my life, so I'm grateful. But then it just became, to me, it's not used for the right purpose anymore. Like,
right.
those days are over. It's all a contest on who has a bigger, better life. It's all fake. But for me, it was the criticism of being on the air and being Bubba's sister. You know, that in and of itself has its own...
That's a loaded
know,
relationship,
I mean,
too.
I can't
the
win.
The assumptions they must have on
you know, and,
being
oh,
related
she,
to Bubba.
Right. And I'm truly... Yeah. We are polar opposite in most ways.
I'm
you know,
learning that. And I
really
don't know
are.
You very well, so I
right.
feel like this is going to be a really good session.
Yeah.
And... this episode, I really want to give the people what they want because they, I feel like on the show, you know, Bubba and everybody tries to pull out of me the sexual, the,
they do, they push
the kinky
it too much.
And stuff like that. And I'm not Janessa.
I'm considered, I guess Tarek and I found out we're considered vanilla
mm-hmm.
because we're married and we're actually into being married and we're monogamous and we actually really like each other, so
okay.
we're called vanilla.
Right.
So I take that as a compliment,
yeah.
but I understand why would you want to open up when all they talk about is, you know, I mean, just the Brent Hatley, which I love Brent. First
mm-hmm.
of all, Brent is like a brother to me. That guy
right.
has had my back. We've been through so much. And no judgment at all
sure.
with what he and his wife are doing. But, I mean, it would be hard to have that and then
right.
have Bubba's tales. And then just have, you know, the rhetoric of the show and then be able to be like, well, I want, you know, a guy that I can just hang out with. They're all going to take a crap on it.
Sure.
And they're all going to be like, whatever. They
because
want
that's
you
not
to get...
good for radio content.
Right.
It's like, I'm
that's
happy
not...
with one person.
There's nothing.
And we only fuck each other. It's like,
there's nothing titillating about
yeah.
monogamy.
Right.
According to, you know, most the Bubba Army or according to what people want to hear. So
right.
I get why you're a little guarded.
Oh, a lot guarded. I mean, I feel like I'm a lot more open now than I used to be just because, like you said, I've been on the radio for, you know, a few years now, so I'm kind of used to putting my public life out there
right.
a little bit more than usual, but still, like, the sexual thing is really not
well, plus,
my thing. Like, I would much rather talk about JFK's assassination
right.
and 9/11 being an inside job. Like, that's really
that's
where I feel comfortable.
And that's why you need to find a guy
mm-hmm.
who is wired like that,
right.
too. But I also understand why you don't want to open up, because they're probably all like brothers to you. Like when I was on the air, I was in sort of a similar position in that everyone wanted to talk about my sex life. And I had just gotten married. And, you know, I've been with some people that, you know, my brother talked about on the air and that worked for him at one point. We'll go there in a minute.
Okay.
So everyone wants to talk about the dirt, right?
Yeah.
Everyone wants to. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm Bubba's sister. I don't want to talk about my sex life in front of my brother. I don't want my brother to know what my grooming habits are or aren't. And even now, it's weird. Like, as a female, I don't want to open up in front of my brother.
Right.
So imagine being on the air with your brother. I know you don't have one.
Uh-huh.
And then people asking you all about your sex life.
Right. Oh,
so
yeah.
So I get what you're saying on not opening up.
Yeah.
And, you know, I try to, like, grab ass and play along and
yuck it
up.
Of course, it's got to be a good sport and can't be just like a total locked box. But, you know, sometimes I am reticent and do I give a little too much?
Right.
Also, I'm very aware that my father is listening as well, and he listens
same
on a daily
here.
Basis.
Same
so.
Here. And it, exactly. And it was my husband.
Yeah.
And my in-laws.
Sure.
Who I just had been married 2 years, maybe a year and a half, and here my in-laws are hearing about the Tara Twist, and you know, you did this, and you banged this guy.
I want to dive into that so badly with your relationship with your husband. So you've been, there's a 16-year age difference, right?
There is.
Can we talk about that origin story? How long have you been together with Tarek?
We have been, so in 2 weeks, it will be our 10-year wedding anniversary.
Oh, wow, okay. So it's been a minute.
So we've been together about 12 years.
Okay.
He was just out of high school. I'm joking. He was like 22.
Okay.
And I had absolutely zero interest. And the story goes, according to Tarek, he always says when people ask how we met, he said it's when stalking went right, because he was very persistent.
You met him at work?
No, I met him. This is going to sound so cheesy. First of all, I've never done the online thing. I never did. And think about it. I was single like 13, 14 years ago.
Okay.
So Match was just, I mean, it was certainly well on its way.
Yeah.
And people were gravitating towards it, but not as common. Now it's the new norm.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, it was probably about 50-50. And, you know, who the hell goes to clubs anymore? That's so trash, right?
Especially now in COVID
with COVID, right?
Yeah, right?
So you have extra challenges. But at that point, I was just sort of out of a bad relationship with a pretty boy. He was my trainer.
Okay.
And he was a physical specimen.
Right.
I mean, everything you want. Everything you want. Everything I thought
I think people are misled in terms of what I want. People
because I'm told you want a six-pack millionaire.
No, I try to correct every day. I'm like, that is not what I want. I don't want a bodybuilder. I don't want people who are taking anabolic steroids and juicing. That's not my deal at all. I always say, just recreationally fit. That's
right,
it.
Right, right.
I prefer not a six-pack, actually, because
right.
I think that would make me more insecure about myself.
It will.
Yes.
It will drive you crazy.
About, you know, I don't want anyone that's, like, you know, crazy overweight. I don't like skinny guys at all. I'd rather date a guy that was actually a little fluffier than too skinny, for me.
Recreationally
fit.
People are learning. I hope people are listening
I'm
and
trying
taking
to,
notes.
I may have said one time, I'm like, oh, that guy's hot, and he had a good body.
And then all
like,
of a sudden,
oh, she looks like a guy with ripped six-pack and, like, 4% body fat. It's like, no, that's not what I said.
That's what I was told.
Okay,
that's what
I was told
you were looking for.
No, that's not what I'm looking for.
So clearly they're great listeners is what you're telling me.
Yeah.
They're really absorbing. they're really listening to you, boo.
Yeah. So back to Tarek.
Oh, yeah. So back to Tarek. So I was not into the online thing. I'd just gotten out of a 7-year relationship with
the
Johnny
boy.
Fitness.
Okay. 7 years. Was he? I feel like he's a player if you're the way you're describing him.
Not at all.
Okay.
I mean, physically, he looks like he should be, but he was a hot mess.
Okay. Emotionally disturbed.
Yeah, and just not ready, you know, was the guy who was going to be a millionaire through multi-level marketing.
Okay. Pyramid scheme stuff?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And I'm like, I'm kind of into, like, getting your degree and really just finding your way and being the best in whatever area it is you're interested in.
Right.
Not in chasing the shiny object.
Sure.
So he had, like, shiny object. It was really emotionally.
Was he younger than you, too?
Yes. 4 years.
Do you think that you have, like, a thing where you...
Totally, and I didn't even know
If I don't mind asking, like, how old are you again? You don't want to say.
I mean, I can't.
That's a lot younger than I think you actually are.
So
you have like you have a youthful energy to you, so you're probably attracted to people that have a younger
vibe. And what's
crazy
is I think it stems from Janie Cakes. It's her fault. So
your mom. Okay, right. Go ahead.
She not. I mean, think about her, and back in 1980 or 1981. So my parents got divorced, best thing ever.
When you were like a kid, like a baby?
Yeah, I think I was like 10, or 10.
Okay.
And it was a great thing.
Sure.
He wasn't Doug Clem. I have no animosity. I don't have daddy issues. I have no animosity towards him. I don't think fatherhood was his thing.
Okay.
He just kind of wanted to, we bogged him down. He has a lot of bitterness that, you know, he got my mom pregnant and he could have been in the NFL. And it's really actually sad because he took it out on Bubba a lot more than me.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I have respect for him. He gave me life. He has a phenomenal work ethic. But he just never he cheated on my mom constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very well known. We were in a small town. So everyone knew. And it was, you know, different women all the time. And he was very critical. Like, you know, he would attack the way you looked every day. It was never, you were never.
As his daughter, too?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. As a little girl, you're never thin enough, smart enough. You know, it was all about looks. And he was very, like, physically fit, very aesthetically good looking, but not good looking on the inside.
Right.
I think he meant well. I just don't think fatherhood, he was meant
not
to be a dad.
Not everybody's meant to be a
and
parent.
That, and that's okay. And I have.
It's unfortunate
really,
sometimes when they have kids. Glad they did because we got you and Bubba. But.
Yeah, well, at least one. Joking. Everyone knows how much I love my brother, right?
Yeah.
Obviously. I do. I love him. Like, he's amazing. But, you know, with the Doug Clem thing, no ill will. I wish him the best. I am grateful for what, you know, he contributed. And then Jeff came along.
Yeah.
So here my mom is. Like
who is also known by several other aliases.
So Eddie.
Okay, got it.
So Jeff comes along. Now think about at the time, being a cougar in maybe 1980, 81.
Pretty unusual, right?
Very unusual.
Okay.
I was little and Jeff is like 25 at the time. And he's an engineer, just moved to where we lived to be an orthopedic engineer. Got a great job out of college, very, very bright. He would design hips and knees for implants. So like if you needed a hip replacement, he was on the design team. Very, very bright.
Okay.
So he had moved to town and a friend of a friend knew that mom needed a tutor for Bubba. She was, you know, a single mom trying to make it. And so, oh, I've got to introduce you to Jeff. Totally friends. My mom wanted nothing. He's 11 years younger than my mm-hmm. mom. So my mom's 36 or 35 and he was 24.
Okay.
And he's, you know, a couple years out of college, getting his master's, working as a biomedical engineer, starts tutoring Bubba mm-hmm. in math.
Okay.
And I mean, I was little, so I don't remember a lot, but obviously I remember this. And this, I'm like, this guy is so nice. And he would bring us gifts and he would take us to hockey games. And my mom had just gone through a pretty crazy divorce.
Okay.
And, you know, Jeff was a kid. Think about it. My stepdad at the time was 24 or 25, and she's 36 mm-hmm. with two kids.
Mm-hmm.
And he would just always hang around our house and come over and visit, bring us groceries because he could see that, like, my mom was struggling.
Okay.
And he would just arbitrarily bring groceries over. And it was, and so at the time, looking back, of course, he was in love with my mom.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom was very hesitant. She was like, oh, we're really good friends. He's
so
a really
it wasn't
nice
like your mom
guy.
Was the pursuer of this like
no,
hot young guy.
Not at all.
Who was helping out her family.
Yes.
The reverse. So he was pursuing your mom.
I think they both liked each other. I think my mom was struggling with, you know, the small town. It was 1981.
Yeah.
And that was unheard of to be a 36-year-old divorcee and be dating a 25-year-old.
Yeah.
So I think she kind of had that struggle, but he definitely really liked my mom. He told me that the first time he ever met my mom, he told his best friend, I'm going to marry her. My stepdad said that. He's like first of all, he's a decoy. He's the most amazing man ever, ever. So I was fortunate that he came into our life at a pivotal time, you know, 10, I think, somewhere in there. And so that once they got together, I didn't really understand the age difference kind of until I was a little older. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it was like the talk of the town, you know,
was really
this guy's marrying this woman who has two.
There was a lot of criticism.
My mom, a lot of
amongst
criticism.
The town people of Warsaw, Indiana.
It was like the big scuttlebutt. Of Warsaw, Indiana. It was like the talk of the town. My mom was like the Demi Moore and Ashton Kutcher.
I got you. Yes.
And it was, I think it's kind of in my, innately in my blood that.
And your mom's a pretty spunky, like 75 year old. Right.
Sometimes people think we're sisters. Like if I can age like my mom and be as cool and hip as my mom, like I could only be so lucky and smart and funny.
And your mom was like always cool with kind of edgy stuff.
Yes.
It wasn't that Bubba became Bubba and then she kind of had to adjust to that.
I mean, cool with edgy stuff, meaning like she was the cool mom, but she was very strict.
Okay.
And was very, like we never wanted to disappoint her ever.
Yeah.
But we had rules, but you know, we could.
You could talk to her about anything. There wasn't anything off the table where it's like, don't come to mom about X, Y, or Z.
It's come to me first. Even if it's uncomfortable and even if you think you've made a mistake, I'm always going to have your back, but I'm not going to have your back if you lie to me.
Got it. All right.
And so she was we never wanted to disappoint her. She was such a good person and always like trying to take care of people and make it on her own. Very strong, very smart, but, you know, definitely open-minded, but not edgy as in, you know, swinging or anything crazy
like
that.
In terms of, like, topics, like, because I've been on the air with Bubba where he calls Janie Cakes.
And ask her about
crazy stuff about her sex life, and I'm just, like, really uncomfortable. But she doesn't even seem to bat an eye.
I mean, at this point, she's used to it.
Used to it after 36 years.
So we were somewhat edgy. I mean, Bubba's always been a comedian. He's always been funny.
Yeah.
He was always very respectful, but he would always push, you know, and my
boundaries.
Mom's very witty and funny and,
yeah, she is.
And likes crazy shit. I mean, she does. Yeah. So that's definitely, you know, she was open to that type of stuff. But as Bubba has progressed in his career, you know, she gets it. She gets that when he calls and asks her about her sex, she just rolls with it.
She does.
You know, kind of like.
She doesn't lock up.
No.
She gives the people what they want. We appreciate
it. And she eats it up. She loves to get pops. She loves to be on the air. She loves to make jokes.
Oh, I know. I saw her at the BAR, the BART party.
Yes.
She was blowing the train horn and she was getting into it.
She's always the life of the party. Yeah. She walks in a room, lights it up. You know, she knows modern day rappers, like she's very hip,
okay,
very cool, and she's always been that way. And so I think, you know, that sort of, that in conjunction with seeing how amazing Jeff was and how she fought it for so long, and then she just embraced, like, go to where the love is. Like, we were like, Mom, he likes you. It almost got to the
point
where,
as kids, you were telling her
that? Yes, like we were trying to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't understand the criticism from the town and, you know, how taboo it was to be a cougar.
Yeah.
You know, we're just like, this guy's great. Mom, we think he likes you. Mm-hmm. Well, the whole time she knew, you know, we're trying to be like, you know, matchmaker kids.
Right.
And we were excited when she kind of opened her mind to it. So I think that sort of...
How long did that take? How long was he in the picture before they were public in their romantic relationship?
I think they were public probably soon after. I think it was just sort of... I don't remember the time frame, but they got married, I want to say, when I was 12 or 13.
Okay.
So they dated for a couple years, got engaged. I mean, I don't really remember the time frame, but I think it was just refreshing to see that you don't have to be intimidated by a man.
Uh-huh.
You don't have to be scolded. Like, Jeff let me be me. I could play whatever music I wanted. You know, I was always, he would always encourage me and always point out the good versus my flaws.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, you can go, I wanted to go to Harvard. He's like, you can go wherever you want. You go to college wherever you want. Just get accepted.
Uh-huh.
Clearly, I didn't. I went to Purdue, but you know,
that's
he was
not
always
bad either. It's not like he went to fucking DeVry.
Right,
like,
that's true. You know,
Purdue ain't bad.
Yeah. So he was always encouraging, and that was something new for us because it was always looking through the lens of, you know, this is what's wrong, not what's right. And it was really cool to see that. And I think that probably in some psych, you know, if I were to sit down and you dissect it, is probably where I'm attracted to younger guys.
Okay.
I mean, there has to be some correlation there with my mom.
Because she's a young 75-year-old.
Yeah, everyone
young,
thinks
whatever.
They're the same
right.
age. Everyone thinks my parents are the same age. A lot of people think Tarek and I are the same age, and I love this question. Did you guys meet in college? And I'm like, yep,
we
absolutely.
Did. So back to, I think you mentioned briefly, he got with you when he said stalking was cool or something. What did
so people say, how did you meet? And he said, you know, it's a story of when stalking went right.
Went right. Okay.
We met at a chiropractor's office.
Okay.
How cheesy is that?
Is that cheesy? I think that's awesome.
I mean,
I can't remember the last time I heard like two people meeting in real life because everybody's meeting online these days.
Right.
But this was, like you said, like 12 years ago.
Right.
All right. So the chiropractor's office.
Chiropractor's a friend of mine and a friend. Tark's friends with him too. Bubba's friends with him too. Great guy. And everyone thought that I was the chiropractor. I was single at the time, living at the gym, was obsessed and just, you know, kind of focusing, just doing me and not worrying about, you know, if
you're
I
done
should get
with,
married.
With,
I was
boy.
Around your age. Yeah.
Done
yeah,
with
yeah.
Pretty Boy. Okay.
Done. I'd taken a couple years off. I was sowed my wild oats, had a lot of fun.
Okay.
And was just sort of like over everything and focusing on my career.
Gotcha.
And I wasn't like, I have to get married. I have to do this in order to validate myself. It became exhausting trying to figure out what I'm supposed to do and what I'm not supposed to do.
Right.
So I just wanted to take a break. Chiropractor's like, hey, one of my patients is like obsessed with you. I'm like, listen, no, I don't even care.
And did he just see you in the waiting room?
Yes.
Okay, okay.
So he sees me in a waiting room and said, who is that?
Mm-hmm.
I want, you got to introduce me. And the chiropractor said, oh, hell no, you could never handle her. She's so-and-so's sister. She's, you know, she's got her crap. No. And he's like, what do you mean? You know, I want to meet her. And he's kind of laughing. So the chiropractor tells me this and I'm like, I'm not interested. Thanks.
Did you even know who he was talking about?
I had no
idea. What he looked like?
And evidently, Tarek and I had spoken several times, like in the lobby.
But you didn't know his name.
I didn't know it was him.
Hey, what's up? Yeah.
I didn't know this was the guy.
What back problem do you have? You know,
exactly.
Like, okay.
I was like in my own world. He said that I was nice, but I didn't really give him the time of day.
Yeah.
And so finally, I'm out on a date with another total jughead, gym rat. On a date with him, the chiropractor calls me and said, hey, my friend and I are, it's Friday night. We're out. Where are you? I'm like, oh, I'm at Blue Martini. I'm embarrassed. And he said, okay, we're coming. I didn't know the friend was Tarek.
Uh-huh.
So I'm hanging out with this loser and they roll in. I'm like, oh, hey, Dr. B. You know, we're like brother and sister chit chat. And he's like, oh, this is my friend. Well, it was really loud in there. And Brian pronounced, the guy that set us up, pronounced Tarek's name as Tarek.
Uh-huh.
I thought he said Derek because it was so loud.
Right.
So
right.
All night I'm calling him Derek. And he's like the pesky little brother, you know, like Peter Brady on the episode where he's like on the double date with whatever. And he is in the middle, like tapping on the shoulder. He's like tapping my shoulder the whole time. Hi. I'm like, hey, what's up? You know, I'm like, God, what's up with this dude? Still not knowing that this is the guy
that wanted to meet you.
No clue.
Gotcha.
So he's all night long trying to talk to me. Well, this other dude leaves. So now I'm...
Jughead leaves.
Okay. I'm like, oh, shit. What am I going to do? So I'm still, like, kind of talking to him. Well, mm-hmm. We go to another place. I'm with a friend. We go to another place. He shows up there. Like, what are you doing here?
Mm.
So I asked him I'm calling him Derek. And he's laughing. And I said, well, what's your name? He shows me his driver's license. Mm-hmm. He said, I'm Egyptian. I said, no, you're not. You're not Egyptian. He shows me his driver's license, and I'm like, man, you must be on the no-fly list with a name like this. I'm like, what? And so he grabs my phone.
Was this shortly after 9/11? Or?
Yes. No, I definitely would have run for the hills.
No, thank
for
you.
For sure.
Thanks, but no thanks.
Thanks, but no
Never
thanks.
Forget. Sorry.
Exactly. It was a little scary. So he asked me for my number. He's like, we should hang out sometime. I'm like, aren't we doing that now? And he's laughing. But, I mean, we're kind of, it's in the spirit of the conversation.
Yeah,
we're
yeah, okay. It's a good banter. Everybody's having a good time. Okay, I got you.
I'm not being a total bitch.
Right.
And so he asked me for my number, and I gave it to him. I wasn't even still thinking that it was like a date thing. I thought it was like a friend thing.
Yeah.
And so he wouldn't let me leave until he called to make sure I didn't give him a fake number.
Okay.
So again, I'm thinking, whatever. He said, let's go to sushi on Friday. I'm like, that's in a week, maybe. He goes, I don't like maybe. And then I'm like, who in the hell does this guy? Still not really thinking. I think he's just busting my balls.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we're joking.
Okay.
So I leave. Brian calls me the next day. He goes, hey, man, that's that guy. I go, what? He said, that's the guy that's madly in love with you. I go, I've said like five words to this. He said, I'm telling you, he drives by to see if your car is at the doctor's office. And if it's there, he'll stop in for an adjustment. I said, are you joking? He goes, no, but he's a great guy. He's the nicest guy. Terry's so cool. You got to go out with him. So now I'm like, what in the hell have I gotten myself into?
Right.
So I think like 2 weeks later, we go for sushi. And I was just trying to act dumb, like I thought this was just a friendship thing. And I didn't want him to know that I knew he was the one.
Yeah.
So we're, you know, and of course I do the classic, hey, to my friends, can you text me at such and such time in case this sucks and I need to get out?
Right.
So we're doing, you know, we have fun. It was totally cool. We went for sushi. Great time.
Did you try to make a move?
No.
No moves made. Okay.
No.
All right.
Which was cool.
Okay.
And we just had a really
low pressure.
Good time. Yeah.
All right.
And so I'm still thinking, okay, cool. This is like a friendship thing. I can do this. See each other. Then he's texting me, hey, I had a great time. When can we hang out again? And so I kind of gave him the Heisman for a while.
Okay.
And then, you know, when you give somebody the Heisman, what do they want? They just want it more.
Right. They fight
so
for
then
it.
I'm like, wait a minute. What's up with this? You're too young. First of all, I lied about my age by like 10 years.
But he believed you.
He knew the whole time. And he would quiz me. He'd be like, so what year did you graduate from high school? And I'm like, oh, okay. I'm trying to like do math in my head. But he knew the whole time.
Like your age and everything?
Google, right?
Oh, Google. I was about to say, I'm like that goddamn chiropractor told him everything.
I'm such a rube. Like I'm literally like, yeah, I'm, you know, 29. So literally, I lied by like 10 years,
yeah,
sometime in there. So we dated for a couple months, kind of dated. And I was just like, listen, you need to see other people. You're young. He's like, what do you mean? You're telling me I need to go be with other women? I want to be with you. Like, how do you know this? You are way too young.
Okay.
I'm a lot older than you. Oh, I mean, just a few years older than you.
Right. Because
I was lying.
Yeah.
And I don't even know. How do you know? I know. So I was basically broke up with him. I'm like, you're too young. You need to go out, get as much strange as you can, and in a couple of years, call me. And he's like, well, when are you going to tell me that you're lying about your age? And I'm like, huh? You know, when you're totally busted, and then you asked, what did you say? And then I confessed, and I'm like, yeah, that's part of the reason. It's too much pressure. Like, it's cool, but in 20 years, when I'm shitting in a diaper and you're changing my diaper, it's not going to be hot dating a cougar.
Yeah.
Trust me.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't care. You know, why do you keep objecting? We're friends. We have a great time. Why are you doing this? I'm like, well, because you're too young. So we kind of took a break for a little bit.
Uh-huh.
He still called me every day, like drove by my house every day.
And you didn't find this creepy at all?
I didn't know as much that he was doing drive-bys.
Okay. He's doing drive-bys.
I don't know how much he was doing drive-bys, mm-hmm. but, you know, I was like, damn, this kid's persistent.
Mm-hmm.
So I said to my mom, Mom, what am I going to do, man? This guy's, I was lying to him about my age, and he still wants to be with me.
Yeah.
He's too young. And she's like, man, you got to stop. Go to where the love is. Like, what?
Yeah, you're asking Captain Cougar, so obviously
right.
She's going to tell you.
Captain Coug's going to be, you know, asking me, like, you know, what are you working with down there? You know, she wants to go in and make sure I'm getting taken care of. But she's like, listen, you know, you need to stop. You've got to, it's a state of mind. And if you're really feeling it, then, you know, give this guy a chance.
Can we unpack this just for a hot second?
And the reason I'm telling, yes, we can, but I'm telling you this because I'm going to give you the same advice in a minute.
Okay.
But go ahead and unpack.
In terms of, like the societal pressure where you feel odd or weird dating someone as a woman that's a lot younger than you, because I feel like I don't want to even date anyone that's younger than 30. I'm 33 right now. And if I see someone on a dating app that's like 29, 28, to me, it's just like an absolute no-fly zone. And maybe it shouldn't be.
Why?
Because,
I know,
it makes me feel weird. Probably the same urges and sort of like reservations that you had.
They can't be emotionally intelligent, right? They can't know what they want.
We think that guys, and often they do, want younger chicks.
Yes.
So why would they be...
Right.
You know, leveling for someone that's older than them when they could get someone that's 5 years younger than them.
But so it's not about age at all.
Okay.
I mean, I found this out the hard way. I was exactly where you were. And my mom's like, okay, well, I'm about to, drop some knowledge. Your dad, which I consider Jeff my dad, your dad and I have been together for, 30 some years. Our marriage is better than ever. We're best friends. We're madly in love. And age, like, I run circles around him. So, what now? And I'm like, so why, give something a chance if it feels authentic. I mean, obviously, I'm not trying to force something.
Sure.
But it was there. And she's like, you got to free your mind. Because I, exactly like you, I'm like, okay, dating a cougar. And this was when Ashton Kutcher and Demi Moore had just gotten married.
Okay.
When Tarek and, I mean, they'd been married for a little bit.
What was the age? It was like 20 years or something?
Yeah. It was right around where we were, a little more, I think, maybe. And so it was, hot. The cougar thing was like, Stifler's mom, all of that.
Yeah.
I'm like, listen, this is hot now, but, in 20 years. But, I mean, I run circles around him to this day. And for him, it was about connecting, like intellectually. And it was about finding somebody that you wanted to do stuff with forever, not just, the sex, so you get wrinkles before I do, or so, there's this or this, that, or there's that. It was about really finding, and this sounds so, I'm embarrassed for myself.
It's okay. You can say something cliche.
Yeah, I don't want, soulmate. It was like about, he basically said, when you find the person that you really liked, you always look forward to being around them.
Uh-huh.
Like you want to be around them all the time. And I don't give a shit what that number is. Why would you? I'm like, because there's so much pressure on women. There's two things. Listen, we have all kinds of issues in society. And obviously, I don't want to get into any of this. This is going to be a fun show. Mm-hmm. But there's two things that to me are, I don't know how to say this without sounding like a feminazi. One, as a female, you're not allowed to gain weight or get old. Those are two things mm-hmm. that women
fear tremendously.
Well, and we're so criticized. Think about it. Mm-hmm.
Critical of ourselves as well.
The worst.
Yeah.
We're the worst on ourselves. Mm-hmm. But, think about it. Anytime Jennifer Aniston, J-Lo, all these women who are in their 50s and who look better than when they were in their 30s.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who ages and doesn't look like them, I mean, and they're even still criticized. So if you get work done, you're damned if you do. Mm-hmm. And if you don't get work done, you're damned if you don't. So, as you age, you start going down that road. Mm-hmm. In addition to, she's gained 20 pounds, what a water buffalo. Or, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like those are the two most unforgiving things for us. And again, I really for anybody, but women, I think it's a little
more magnified. Because men are very visual, so they, I've never heard Bubba or any of the guys on the show talk about if there's like a hot chick, they go, oh, she looks down to earth.
Oh,
you know,
God,
it's
I
like her jugs,
she's so charismatic, and I bet she has
love the titty fuck, whatever. Yeah, obviously, can't say that,
it's
but
always straight
something
for the
sexual.
Jugs.
But that's how the male brain works. So females are very, they're very much aware of that, and that's why we become so obsessed with our looks. Because we want to be desirable on the mating market.
Right.
So that's
instead of just being the best version of you.
And that's why makeup is such like a multi-billion trillion dollar industry.
Right.
Plastic surgery, clothing, anything that makes you appear younger and look better, thinner, whatever.
It's always looking for the bigger, better deal.
Right,
so we
right.
assume that men are thinking that, which the majority are.
Uh-huh.
I'm not hating on them.
Sure.
I get, you like what you like.
And much like you said, this isn't like a feminazi, we hate men. I studied evolutionary biology. I understand that the male brain is very visual.
It's just wired.
And women are aware of that. That's why we always try to look nice and dress up. Which is odd because I look now a lot better for you than I do for any of the guys on the show.
And
I think it's because I have more respect for you.
And appreciate that. But it's women dress, though, for intelligent women normally dress for other women.
Yeah, I noticed that because I like put on makeup this morning,
know,
and I'm like,
bringing
why?
Sexy back, girl.
Thank you, thank you. And
see,
I don't do this
swagger.
For the eight guys I work with every morning.
Well, plus,
so
you
I was
are
like,
getting
what
up
is
at
that?
Like probably 4 a.m.
That is also true. So I was a little bit more well rested, but nevertheless, I was like, that's odd that I dressed up for Tara, and I don't give a fuck about anybody else I work
I'm
with.
Feeling
and
special.
I think it's because I actually have respect for you. So I think that's what
Ditto.
I think that's what
I got dressed up for you. I normally even I work with all men.
Yeah,
and I mean, I do love makeup. I used to work for MAC. I was a makeup artist like during college.
Really?
And I loved it.
Okay.
That was my jam. So I am kind of I do enjoy
like
that.
It's an interest of yours.
I love it. Like painting.
Okay.
But I love makeup.
I know someone else who paints.
Yeah, really? I don't. I know someone else who thinks painting was stupid, but now they think it's cool. I don't know if it's the same person.
I don't know anybody.
But anyway, bless his heart. But yeah, it's crazy. So the pressure that, you know, I just finally opened my eyes and was like, damn, I'm tired of beating myself up. Like, it's exhausting. It's exhausting of worrying about shit that does not matter. Worrying
about people
beating
who are
yourself
not,
up.
Who don't affect your life.
No, and it's crazy because I would look at a picture of myself when I was in way back. I mean, I will show you. Yeah, I'm Uncle Rico from Uncle Rico from Napoleon Dynamite telling you how cool I used to be.
Okay.
No, but like I will show you I was a gym rat. I was obsessed and I would, you know, starve myself and work out twice a day. And, you know, it became like I would look at a picture and be like, oh, my God, I look like, oh, I hope no one looks at this. And other people are like, oh, my God, you look great.
Right.
And then I look back at those pictures and I'm like, oh, my God, I was 30 pounds thinner and I was beating myself up.
Right.
And it just got to the point where I found somebody who loved me unconditionally. It's not like I had money. I mean, this has been a long time ago. It's not like I had, you know, I was doing okay.
Mm-hmm.
I had a house, but it's not like I, you know, was progressed in my career. And instead of looking at me and seeing everything that was wrong, he looked at me and saw everything that was right. And I was
much
fighting
like Jeff.
Much like Jeff.
Interesting.
They're very similar in a lot of ways. They're both nerds. First of all, always date and marry a nerd. Nerds are the best. Not high school, not somebody who peaked in high school or even college.
Yeah.
Nerds, man. First of all, I love smart.
Oh,
because,
same here.
Because think about it. Listen, I'm not going to lie. Jason Momoa, that's on my free pass list.
Yeah, okay.
Like, that's one.
Yeah.
But by the same time, I mean, Tarek's not a troll. He's hot. I think
he's a babe.
Yeah, he's really hot. You got to be attracted to somebody.
Of course.
But instead of like looking at everything that was wrong with me, mm-hmm. I just let it go. I mean, that's not to say I don't wake up every day and my worst critic, right?
We all are. And I've been working on that a lot to try to unravel a lot of the bad habits I think I got when I was like an adolescent and got worse when in my 20s. And I feel like maybe my 30s are for me, you know, unpacking things, unraveling things, and trying to rewire a lot of the bad mental habits I had.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
It's a natural progression. And that's exactly what happened to me. And I finally, I'm like, wait a minute. This guy's right in front of me. Why am I fighting it? Because
he's
not.
You get along great. You have good interests. You're both mentally stimulated by each other.
He has a sick, sarcastic sense of humor.
Uh-huh.
I mean, think about, he understands my family and gets it. And
that must be a big one.
Oh, my
that must
God.
Be a big one, because a lot of people don't get it. They don't appreciate it.
No,
they feel
or they
uncomfortable.
Think that it's you know, that everything is as it appears, you know, perception's reality. So, okay, so her, you know, this is what I heard on the show. So this is how his sister must be,
mm-hmm.
you know. So that,
Or if you embellish something on air, then they think you're really mad, or this is how you really feel about me, and you're like, no, we're part of the show business.
It's just an extra layer of criticism. Yeah, that's all it is. And it's probably, I mean, for you too, because I'm sure, you know, as you're even exploring meeting people, you telling them, you know, there's a stigmatism to my brother's name, and then you telling them that you're on the air in and of itself is probably a little intimidating, and then finding out that you have an association with my brother. So, you know, there's that hurdle, which we talked about,
mm-hmm.
but we, you know, it kind of goes without saying. But I just think for you, like, I just got sick of beating myself up. It got exhausting. And
it's mentally taxing.
It's mentally,
it really is.
It is. And I think for women in general, like, you know, the best beauty advice I ever got was just to empower other people and always see the good in people because it makes you more beautiful. And confidence, man. A mm-hmm. dude, this is some great advice Bubba gave me years ago when I would go to him crying about, you know,
well, I'm interested
trainer.
In this. I don't think I've ever heard those words strung together. Great advice great that advice Bubba the Love Bubba. Sponge gave
Usually
me.
Usually that's an oxymoron. Yeah. However,
all right,
he
let's
really
hear
did.
It. Let's
because,
hear it.
I mean, off, first of all, it, off the air, he's so protective of me, and I'm so grateful for that.
He is on the air as well. He's very protective of you.
And he always has been. And even, you know, like when our lifestyles did not mesh, like, you know, I'm vanilla over here, you know, he would, if I was anything other than vanilla, which is funny, he would absolutely kill me. You know, if mm-hmm. if I did, you know, some of the things that he has done, which, you know, whatever, to each his own.
Sure.
But he's so uber protective of me. And I would go to him, especially when here back in 1999, it was like Dorothy from Kansas. I came from Indiana to here. And you,
and
know,
you moved
plastic...
here because Bubba was here.
Yeah, okay. 100%. I moved here.
You probably came here. You're like, this is a
great opportunity.
Place.
For opportunity. I mean,
nice
there's
weather.
Not a lot going on in Warsaw, Indiana. Right. Population of maybe 15,000.
Really?
Chicago's
tiny.
Like 2 hours away. You know, so I was limited. So I moved here, obviously, for opportunity. And because of Bubba, I moved in with him, which, you know, that's a whole other.
That'll be for episode 2.
We need part 2, right?
Okay.
Because I really want to give you advice. My life is really not that exciting, believe it or not. My journey, though, I think could help you. So I would say to him, you know, oh, I met this guy. And, you know, first moving here, Bubba's career was on fire. So, you know, you have the guys who were just total groupies and fans and only wanted, I didn't like telling people who I was until I knew if they liked me. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of hard not to with my last name and mm-hmm. people. So that was a big challenge. But, you know, I would go to him with my woes and he would just, you know, like, oh, this guy cheated on me with her and she's, you know, hot and blonde and this and that. And he's like, listen, let me tell you something. The cardinal rule you must understand and never forget is, you know, who's the hottest woman you could think of? Well, back in 1999, I think I said Pam Anderson.
Okay.
And he goes, Pam Anderson, great example. Somebody is tired of being with her. Mm-hmm. Someone's broken up with her. Someone's cheated on her. She's not all that, you know, you're looking at it wrong. You know, don't compare yourself to that. And at, you know, she's not, you know, immortal. She's had her heart broken.
Sure.
You know, someone's, you know,
tired of fucking her. I've heard that before.
Exactly what
right.
he said. He's like, so if you're constantly playing the compare game, you know, that's,
it's a
losing battle. Yeah. And I was like, aha. You know, of course, it took me a long
Bubba
time
climb
to
with
grasp
the wisdom,
right? And it took me a while to grasp that. And more than anything, it was just like I was pretty much where you were. I might have been a year or two older than you. And I was just tired of beating myself up, of trying to attain something that even once I got there, nothing changed. You know, it was all internal. And this sounds cheesy as hell, but you got to like yourself for who you are today, mm-hmm. not... Oh, if I could only get 10 pounds off, I would, you know, things would be
not
better.
Not to hate yourself in the journey
only,
to get to a better version
only
of yourself.
If I could, you know,
as
my
you
skin
think.
Better, or if I could only right. grow my hair like this, if I could only, you know, wear this size, mm-hmm. it would be XYZ. You got to retire that. Just get rid of it and like who you are today. And then just try to be a better version of that every day. It sounds so cheesy.
Oh, it's so true, though.
But it's true. And I think you just... You know, I've always been confident regardless. I've always had confidence because I'm always going to bet on myself. And mm-hmm. I was always okay with being alone. Like, okay, so.
Because that's where I am right now. Like, my default setting is alone. I'm sure you know people like this. They're constantly in a relationship.
Yeah,
you
know, that was not me.
That is not me. My default setting is alone. So I'm very comfortable being alone.
That's
which
good.
Is good and bad. Sometimes you get a little too comfortable.
Right.
And then you maybe don't want to make concessions
become,
and
like,
compromises.
The crazy cat lady.
I have two cats. They don't even belong to me.
You have more cats than you have friends.
Right, right. I certainly don't want to go in that direction, but I fear like I might be on that path. But I also don't want to be the person that's a serial monogamous and they need somebody, otherwise they don't feel complete or whole or
yeah,
happy.
Yeah, but you don't give off that. That's not who you are.
No, no. I'm the opposite. But again, like my default setting is solo. And I'm almost a little too comfortable being solo.
I was like that for
okay,
a lot.
Right.
I mean, honestly, I didn't really have a serious relationship until I met the gym rat. And at that point, I was like 29.
That was like your first real relationship?
That was like my first
My first real relationship was when I was 27. Right. And I didn't even like have a kind of boyfriend in high school. Nothing.
Wow.
Nothing at all.
You went from like zero to...
Zero. I mean, like I had flings and like went on dates.
Of course.
But my first relationship where it's like we made an agreement that we're not going to fuck anybody else was 27.
Wow.
And that's old as hell.
Well, I mean,
first relationship?
I mean, I was probably about the same.
Okay.
About the same. And so I, you know, my default was alone.
Sure.
I spent, I think, six years with this guy just because I felt bad for him. It was
stupid.
And
he was hot, right? At least?
Absolutely.
Okay.
A physical specimen.
Nice.
But absolutely nothing more than that.
Yeah.
Nice person. I wish him the best. I really do. Like, we had fun together. He was a goofball. That's what, you know, we laughed all the time.
He was a good person.
Yeah,
okay.
He was. He really was. Just not, you know, very motivated in life. And that's okay. But, you know, I wasted too much time with him. And I was angry at myself for wasting so much time with him.
And you probably thought those were, like,
the
goal. Like your hottest years. And you're like, I wasted them on you when I could have been out there trying to find something better.
But I was wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was single for a while and had a really good time and, you know, went out and, you know, had a really good time.
Yeah, I got you.
And
I see what your eyes are telling me.
Yeah. And just sort of, you know, again, just stop beating myself up. I was just over it. I didn't give a shit, like, who thought what of me. I just wanted to be a good person, leave everything better. Like, me meeting you today, wherever I go, I want to leave it better. And just enjoy life. And when I started like really embracing that and just, and again, this sounds corny as hell. It's not some sexy story that, you know, is titillating,
mm-hmm.
but just really starting to just stop beating myself up. Confidence,
mm-hmm.
it's going to win every time
mm-hmm.
because, you know, you take the perfect female specimen who doesn't have, you know, who's going to want to have a conversation with that for very long? There's without
right.
depth, you know.
And also, like, what I usually tell myself when you see, like, the hottest chick ever, just because they want to fuck you doesn't mean they respect you.
More
and to me,
often
I think respect is, you know, invaluable. So
it really is.
Right.
And I think just being able to grasp the whole empowering women. Like, I love to make women feel good about themselves with sincere compliments, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not going to go up to somebody who's morbidly obese and say, oh, you have a great figure. That's cruel.
Yeah.
That's cruel.
Yeah.
You know, but
much like you were like harping back to do like a callback, you're highlighting the good parts of themselves, not focusing on the bad. But you're also not into lying to people.
No.
Right.
Like,
okay.
Give them a sincere compliment. I think, you know, my biological father was so critical of everyone every time. You would meet somebody, whether you're watching a news anchor, oh, that person's this, and she's, you know.
Was it only women that he attacked, or was it men, too?
It was everyone.
Okay.
More women, but he was an equal opportunity.
Okay.
And
hater.
I think seeing that just made me polar opposite. It made me want to just, you know, bring out the best in people and compliment them and show them and tell them how awesome they are
mm-hmm.
and bring out, you know, their strengths, make them feel good about themselves. Because that's a powerful thing. You make somebody feel good about themselves, that's very empowering. And I think it creates a bond.
Wasn't Maya Angelou, I think she said some shit like people don't remember what
remember
you said,
the
but
way
they
make
how'd
them
you,
feel.
How'd you make them
that's
feel?
True. Yeah.
Right? Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah. And it just, and for me, it was a coping mechanism too of just getting sick of all the criticism growing up.
Trying to correct the wrongs of, like, your biological father.
And beating myself up all the time.
Yeah.
And then, you know, letting all of that go and realizing how cruel and critical the world is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I learned that through social media. I think I started about that. You get on the show, and I was mortified that what people would say about me. You know, in Twitter, I'm Bubba with a wig. I'm, you know, no talentless hack who walked into this, you know, co-host coveted position, which one, I've done voiceover work for over 25 years. But again, I know that's not live radio. Bubba, this was Bubba's idea. Like, I want you on the air. I want to try it. You get it. Not a lot of females get it.
Mm-hmm.
And not a lot of people can hang. And so walking in and just getting attacked for the way I look, for everything I said, for, you know, it was exhausting. It was exhausting. And then, you know, like I feel shitty enough about myself. Okay.
Yeah, I
look in the mirror, right? I have eyes. Yeah. And I'm not trying to be America's Next Top Model either, bro. Like, just let me be me, and I'm just trying to have fun.
Did people ever say something that you didn't even realize you were insecure about until they said it, and you're like, holy shit, I didn't realize my ears are big.
I mean, the list, I don't have enough time. Absolutely. Yeah. On the reg.
I didn't even notice that was bad about me. Thanks for letting me know.
On the reg. On a regular basis, it was a constant teardown of just, and there are some great people that I'm really grateful for, like Scout and Big Gulp.
Oh,
you know,
awesome.
There's some great, you know, the good are the best, right? Mm-hmm. And then there's people that would say that shit, but if they saw you, they'd be nice to your face.
Yeah.
You know? So you go, and I would call Bubba and I'd be like, I can't, listen, man, I just got married. Like they would say, you know, make up rumors. We had Magic Mike was really popular when I was on the air. And we had some Magic Mike dudes, and it was, bless their hearts. But, you know, I was more embarrassed for them.
Sure.
It was kind of degrading. It was kind of like we had listeners come in that won, and we all sat back, and it was kind of like almost like a parody, but the guys didn't really, you know, it was hilarious.
Uh-huh.
You know, oh, she's sleeping with them. You know, there was all this, it was just negativity that I didn't need. And it really was overwhelming. And my brother's like, you can't read that. Yeah, he wasn't taking his own advice.
Uh-huh.
But as a female, it's, you know, and I would roll with it and be like, whatever, dude.
And then
like,
go home
I don't
and cry.
Know you.
Yeah.
Yeah, for a while.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I'm like, wait a minute. I don't know these people. What they think of me is not my business.
Sure.
I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm just there to have a good time, be a good person.
Do my job,
bust balls. Get up out of Bubba Palooza, do a little stand-up, you know, warm up the crowd, make fun of my brother, have some funny banter, and leave. I'm not trying to be America's Next Top Model. I'm not trying to be Janessa. I'm not trying to be anybody other than me.
Mm-hmm.
And once I started just, you know, doing that and living it, you just, you know, people come into your life, but you got to be open to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so finally, you know, as I digress, like, the whole Tariq thing, I was finally like, well, shit, what do you want, the pain of change or the pain of regret? I'd rather have the pain of change of knowing, like, okay, I'll explore this.
It didn't work
out. This is a really good
guy.
Like, how can I discriminate against his age when he's not discriminating against mine?
Ooh, that's a good
one. Like, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. I'm being a hypocrite.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, you know, stopped beating myself up. And
just,
it was right in front of me. And we were friends. And we build it on friendship, which I think is why it's lasted so long. I think for him, of course, it was lust. I'm totally just, you know what I'm saying. But, you know, it was like, hey, man, we really like each other. This is cool. And it was right in front of me. So my advice to you is,
I want to take some notes now.
Boo-boo, confidence.
Yeah.
You take, first of all, you're a smoke show. You're beautiful.
Oh, thanks.
But you take, you know, one of these, you know, I love this term, Instagram models. I'm trying. I'll jump off the skyway if I have to say that again. It's embarrassing.
Influencer
as
a career?
I asked this girl. We were at a cookout, and I asked her. This was pre-COVID. She was like a friend's kid, 16, gorgeous. So you're going to college. What do you want to do? Very bright girl. I want to be an Instagram model, a social influencer. And I go, and I want to win the lottery. I said something like smart, and she was like the fact that that's what people aspire to anyway.
Yeah.
Hey, I don't judge.
That might be where the
money's
at,
I'm not trying to, honestly,
they're
probably the ones that have it actually figured out.
I know, it's fucked up.
But, you know, you take somebody like that, and you start trying to compare yourself. Like, you're not trying to be that.
Sure.
But I guarantee, side by side, you go out with the two of you, you and let's just say, who's the hottest chick on social media right now?
Oh, on social media
or in pop culture, who's
like the it girl?
Who's an it girl right now?
Let's say like Selena Gomez.
Okay, especially after Bieber got married. But like, take Selena, right?
Okay,
sweet girl, I'm sure. But somebody who is of substance, who's a good person, who gets your humor, right? Who's confident and successful, is going to think Selena's fun for a while, but your confidence and intelligence, it's going to, girl, you're going to smoke her. And I hate to like say anything bad about Selena because she's beautiful and I don't want to degrade women.
Right.
But my point is, like, you're confident and you're smart, you're cynical, you're funny, you can roll with the dudes.
I need to give you my pocket whenever I have a moment.
No,
where
but
I'm
you
like,
gotta,
I'm
this
not
is
enough.
The shit you gotta tell
yeah.
yourself.
No, it's true. It's true.
I mean,
yeah,
you're an anomaly. There's not a lot of women who, like us, are wired like dudes, but who are sensitive and who can make fun of ourselves.
Sure.
And also be kind to other women and not tear other women down and be confident and have a good time. That's sexier than any hot piece of ass long term for an intelligent man,
mm-hmm.
for somebody that you're going to be attracted to.
Sure, sure.
So you have, boo, you got the weapon. You just have to use it.
Right.
You got to have swagger and confidence.
Yeah.
In that.
And I am, listen, and even though, like, I make a lot of jokes about myself and I talk about
I
hate myself and stuff like that.
I love degrading myself. It's
funny. I do. At the end of the day, like, I'm confident. I know who I am, all that sort of shit. I think right now is it's an issue of just, like, luck and chance, sort of.
Well, right now sucks because of COVID.
You know, I mean, I have been using that excuse, but, like, if we're being real, especially, like, in Florida, everything's fucking wide open.
Yeah,
no one is really scared to go out.
Yeah, but...
But also...
But you still have to wear... So if you go to a restaurant, it's got to be weird. You can't just go hang out.
Correct.
There are certain mandates.
Sure.
So it must be weird meeting somebody for the first time, walking in with a mask... And then, I mean, of course you're going to take it off, but I mean, just having that extra layer.
Absolutely. And I mean, like, in terms of, like, dating apps, people seem to be willing to go out. But much like you said, if you want to meet someone organically, like you're just out and about, if you're wearing a mask, that's pretty much like a sign saying, don't talk to me. I'm scared of your germs.
Right.
So, and I understand people also want to be respectful of other people's space and how do they feel about the virus? Who even knows? So, like, you're right in that aspect. But, yeah, I feel like now is just, I don't know, harder than ever. And I've been on these fucking apps for, 8 years.
I feel for you because yeah. I don't think I could have done that. So I'm a
well,
bit hypocritical.
I feel like you don't even have, like, a choice at this point because that's where the market is. You have to go to where, you know, you want to connect with
Unless
people.
Unless you're set up, right? And no one really wants to be set up because it's weird, even though I'm
And I don't
was.
Trust people's taste.
And I don't trust. And plus, like, it's, you don't really want to put yourself in that position. But I will say, open your mind to if somebody wants to introduce you to someone, at least, like, as you know,
of course.
Hey,
and
man,
I have,
friend.
Can I see a
yes?
Sure, can I see a like, photo?
As long
or...
as you don't have any pressures of this being a date,
mm-hmm.
I'd like to hang out. That's also a good way,
sure,
because you know, you meet people through people,
absolutely.
But dating, I mean, right now, I feel for you the challenge of the social distancing, the challenges of COVID. But I think just your mentality, even more so than, you know, digging into apps and dudes and, you know, who's out there and what's out there, is just knowing that you've got the weapon and being good with who you are today,
mm-hmm.
and just, you know, tomorrow be a better version of that.
Mm-hmm.
Once you really start living that and having that swagger and confidence.
Right. Yeah, and I also try to look at other people and their mistakes. Like, I've used my parents as a model and, you know, their marriage and divorce and everything like that and what I want for myself, what's important in a relationship. I've seen a lot of relationships around me fail, and I take notes on those so that I don't make that same mistake.
That's good. I did too.
But what I think is especially what's plaguing a lot of women around my age in their 30s is that they're very bitter and they're jaded,
mm-hmm.
and they... think that the world is against them. And even if they are right, even if things aren't going well and they're bitter, that's not attractive and nobody wants to be around
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
I wake up every day when I hit these apps and check my phone for whatever. I pretend like it's my first day dating.
Of course.
And I'm like, hey, you're probably going to fake, but I'm going to bring all this positive
right,
energy
right.
in the event that you fucking don't.
Right.
So I really try to keep that in mind, that when I feel like I'm getting bogged down or I'm being negative about it, I go, this isn't attractive.
Right.
I don't want to be around someone who's negative and bitter and who writes stuff in their profile like, don't be like my ex who, or, you know, what
right.
they bring up stuff from the past.
Bitter party
I don't
want to
be around
one.
That. Right. Who
now
wants
paging,
to be around that?
Bitter
so,
party of one.
I'm all about faking it till you make
but
it.
But the fact that you recognize that
yes.
is huge.
Yes.
But now you have to start living it. So why be bitter? Why, to me, time is non-refundable. So why waste your time being bitter over some jackleg from the past or
right.
some, you know, loser or whatever, even in the present? Like, don't don't allow them to have any space in your head, because sure. that's power too.
And it's also a self-fulfilling prophecy if you think that they're going to fuck you over, or then, you know, they're bad people, then you'll only find the bad in people.
Like attracts like. Yep. So it really is self-fulfilling yeah. prophecy. And the body follows the mind. So if you start becoming negative, then your body will start, you'll start having health issues.
100%.
You know, so it's like the way you respond determines everything.
Yeah.
The direction in which it's going to go. So if some loser or some asshole reaches out to you, or you think about, you know, who's that dude? You've had a couple boyfriends, right?
I've had two in my life.
Okay.
But some flings, but
right,
two boyfriends.
Right,
yeah.
but two boyfriends. So if you start thinking about, I don't want what to happen with whatever his name is,
yeah.
then you start going there, like, let it go. Mm-hmm. Who cares?
Right.
Like, they don't deserve it.
Yeah.
Don't let that take up any of your time, because you'll never get it back. So
no,
you just have to
no,
always,
and it doesn't.
Like,
and I certainly don't want to bond with someone because we're both bitter and unhappy. Like
right.
that's not a team
and
or
that happens.
A club I want to be a part of. So I pretend every day like this is the first day and everything's cool. What are you
right.
up to, man?
Right.
Even
right.
though in my mind, like, yeah, I've been through the ringer. I've been on these apps for Jesus, almost a decade.
Right.
It's pretty wild. But I see other women my age, and I and the way how bitter they are on social media, and they take screenshots of private conversations, really inappropriate stuff that I'm not attracted to that. I don't want to be with anybody that's like that, friend or otherwise.
Right.
So I try to keep that in mind.
What type of life must they have in order to take the time to do that?
Not like a very fulfilling one. Yeah.
Like, who in the hell? Or even like to post about how great your day was. And I don't need to see pictures. Like, kind of like that progressive commercial.
I don't want to see a picture of your salad, thanks.
Like, don't be your parents. I don't need to know, you know, it's almost like, I don't need to know how great your day is. Mm-hmm. I don't need to know how great your salad was. I don't need to know. Like, if you're busy trying to convince everyone how amazing your life is, then your life probably isn't
100%.
So amazing. I would rather be out doing it than showing it.
Right.
Like, that's why
than
when we travel a lot, I never am posting like, oh, here's
how
this.
Happy we
like,
are.
That to me is, that's a never
It's like you're trying to almost
game.
Convince yourself
it's
more than other people.
If that fulfills them, I'm all about it. I'm not being critical, but for me,
but typically those people aren't very happy, because there's weirdly in social media, there's a currency in other people's envy. Like, I want you to think I have this perfect life and I'm going to present it like this. I can't tell you how many times I'll be like, oh, wow, Hawaii looked amazing. That looks great. You know, how's Darren doing? It's like,
and then
and she'll be
depressed.
Like, I fucking hate him. I can't stand him.
Yes.
We're on the brink of divorce. But, you know, I just want to make everybody think everything's
okay.
Oh, my
God, I saw the post and they were like, canoeing down a river and
kissing,
was madly
and,
in love.
Yeah.
And wait a minute,
it's
he's
disgusting.
Cheating on. Yeah, it's and I can't subscribe to that. That's mm-hmm. not who I am. I would rather just live my life. And plus, I mean, why do you think suicide and depression is up? A lot of studies show it's based on social media
pressure.
I mean, there's a correlation, and it's crazy.
Ever since, like, I think smartphones or people started getting the internet on their phones. That's when, especially, I want to say, with girls ages like 13 to 18, suicide skyrocketed.
You cannot tell me there's these young girls who are so insecure and trying mm-hmm. to figure out who they are, mm-hmm. seeing, you know, everybody having a bigger, better deal.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a chase. You're never going to, you know, you're never going to finish, mm-hmm. cross the finish line.
And it's a fake reality, which is even worse. It's not even like these people's lives are amazing. It's that they're not, and you're chasing a reality that's not even a reality.
Fake.
That's fake. It's fake.
Yeah.
It's fake news.
It's, again, exhausting. So it's mm-hmm. like, for you, man, you weapon. Like, you have the intelligence. You're quick-witted. You're confident. You're beautiful. Like, dude,
thank you so much for being
honest.
Slay,
man. Go out and slay. For real.
I'm trying.
And have a good time.
And I'm striking out, Tara. I don't know what to tell you.
Don't overthink shit.
I went on one date last year, and it was a fucking nightmare.
Was it like the serial killer guy or something?
No. That was my roommate where I was almost murdered.
We need to do a podcast on, like, you can't make this shit up.
Yes.
Like, on real stories.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, I mean, that in and of itself.
I know.
Life is stranger than fiction.
Mm-hmm. It certainly is.
So it's not serial. It's not Ted Bundy.
No, it's not Ted Bundy. And I didn't date Ted Bundy, but I basically lived with him because he was my roommate's boyfriend this time last year. And then they broke up and the next girl he murdered and then killed himself.
I can't even.
Isn't that wild?
That is honestly, that's wild. I mean, you might want to. I mean, screw this whole podcast. You might want to just go directly to counseling. Yeah. I mean, what the hell do I know after hearing that?
Yeah, and it was weird because it's a terrifying story, obviously. But I always say every time something crazy happens, if you're not laughing, you're crying. Like, it's 100%. A fucking horrendous story. So I got to make a joke out of it.
You really?
And now it's my favorite party story.
Healing through humor.
Yes.
I'm a big fan of that.
Yeah.
So you've been on one date.
I went on one date. Sucked. It wasn't a murder. I don't smoke cigarettes. I don't like anything about smoking cigarettes.
Me either.
And that was just pretty much a deal breaker.
Yeah,
he faked a phone call to smoke a cigarette. He literally, with a blank screen on his phone, was like, oh, suddenly was like, didn't even do the 1 minute I have to take a phone call, walks out of the bar, is outside. There's a window.
Burning a heater, like straight.
And I had mentioned earlier, I hate cigarettes. So he pretended, and then he came back in and asked for a piece of gum. And I'm like,
was a genius.
Did you just pretend to take a, like, I laughed. I was like, did you just pretend to take a phone call so you could smoke a cigarette? And he was just like, I go, I think we're done here.
So is it Beavis or Butthead?
Yeah,
I mean,
both.
That's hot.
Yeah, yeah. So I never saw him again, which is fine. But that was the only date I had the entire year last year.
Well, I mean, I get it now. You should have led with that.
Yeah.
You should have led with that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, now's a screwed up time.
It is. But I also don't want to use that as an excuse to, you know, not try or get out there and be like, it's too hard. It's just, I keep barreling forward, which is weird because I'm not a person of faith. I have no faith in my life. I don't go to church or synagogue or anything like that. But weirdly, I have just, I don't even know what to call it other than faith that shit's going to work out.
That's good, though. Which you need that.
It's a strange optimism, but I tell myself this because I'm like, how else are you going to live your life? Just be pessimistic and upset? I might as well be happy and joyful and hope the best.
Look at
other
this.
I'm learning.
This is groundbreaking.
I'm learning. Right. Other than being upset
this
and miserable based on all the evidence that I have presented before me. But I'm just like, fuck it.
Because remember, self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah.
So instead of being miserable, you continue to do that, you're going to attract that.
Yeah.
Like Mr., you know, cig smoker.
Yeah.
But
burner.
If you, it's great that you have faith from wherever it came from.
It is a bizarre optimism.
Great.
And I do get a lot of heat on the show for being cynical or being negative. I just think I'm realistic.
Right, right.
But they say I'm cynical. They say I'm negative. But in this regard, in terms of like how my life's going to work out, I go, listen, and comparison is good sometimes. I go, listen, I don't live in Syria.
Right.
I'm not in
when
China.
When you're showing your blessing. Always show gratitude.
Sure. That's I go, listen, you're not in fucking Uganda.
Right.
Like, you live in America.
Right.
Shit's not great all the time, but it's a lot better than it is in most places in the world. And I keep that in mind. You know, I have two legs. They work. This is great.
I'm proud of
you. Yes. So I always keep that in mind whenever I start feeling sorry for myself or I'm like, you know, why can't shit work out?
Gratitude journals,
man.
They help.
Oh, my God.
Sounds corny.
I'm doing great. Yeah, I got an echocardiogram. Everything's good.
Right.
So
okay, check that off the
list.
I'm healthy.
I mean, you know, my mom told me I might have a heart made out of cheese, but I got it checked.
That's
great. And it seems like it's good. Everything's okay. So
pass the test.
Yeah. So I'm grateful for what I have. Right.
Exactly. And another corny thing that I do every day is I meditate. That's not corny.
No.
But I do, I have a gratitude journal. So every night, even if it's like the worst day and everything went wrong and, you know, last couple of years, I've had friends pass away, which is weird. You know, even in the worst days, I managed to find
something
things that, like, even waking up, you know, getting out of bed, you know, drive. I have a roof over my head.
Uh-huh.
Even like during the weirdest times.
You have a job when everybody is losing
theirs. Right, exactly. Yeah. Like I can't bitch that I work all the time because I should be. So I was just having that conversation with Blitz.
Mm-hmm.
I should be so grateful that I have the opportunity. So I do. It's been hard, but it's been years of just retraining my brain and seeing what my brother went through too, you know, losing, you know, the peak of his career and losing everything.
Was the peak shortly followed by the, like, the great, you know, the great fall, or?
I would say it took a while.
Okay.
It did. You know, death by a thousand cuts, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, seeing somebody, you know, who I love, you know, he's the closest thing I have, that to the rise and fall and all of the, you know, a lot of it due to him, but a lot of it not. And the people, you know, to see the pain that that caused him, just it killed me. Because, you know, we may not agree on lifestyle or choices, but I love him unconditionally. Sure. And I would take a bullet for him. Mm-hmm. And to see somebody, even when they've made mistakes, in so much pain that I love, just it killed me. Mm-hmm. It was so hard. And I never want to see that again. And I want to do everything in my power to make that never happen and be there for him. So, you know, just seeing how important gratitude is for the small things. And he even, you know, I've had this conversation with him when he was living in a, you know, an RV. Mm-hmm. I'm like, man, you got to look at, you know, and he'd make fun of me. Oh, you're being stupid and you're, you know, corny, you know, positivity. Yeah. And then it was like, he's like, man, you're right. You know,
yeah.
even the simple things like I miss living in the mansion and I miss this and who doesn't, but I'm happier now.
He does mention that a lot.
And seeing his journey has also helped me as I've over the years sort of tried to, you know, really change my way of thinking. And my mom's a very positive person too, okay. But negativity is not a choice for me and I will not be around anybody. Now, of course, we bust balls and you're human. You need to vent, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But I have zero tolerance for like a negative person. Mm-hmm. Now somebody, you know, and I'm not saying people have good days and bad days. That's not what I'm talking about.
Or not helping someone that's going through a hard time.
And just somebody who's constantly critical and negative and like it's exhausting and it's a turnoff.
And it's unpleasant to be around.
And it is. And so with guys, like, you know, you go on a date with a guy and you just sit and bitch about your ex or you bitch about, you know, whatever it is in your life. No man or woman or whatever you identify as, that's not attractive.
Yeah.
You know, and so the more positive you become mm-hmm. and the more confident you become, the more attractive you become. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would always say I might be, you know, a Walmart 7, but, you know, I could put a 10 next to me and, you know, after 2 hours, they're going to want to hang out with me. And it's not a contest. But, you know, you have to believe that uh-huh. and just have fun. No matter, even like the hottest guy in the world, it's the craziest thing. Well, it's really, first of all, it's the young dudes. I don't know if I give off like this Mrs. Robinson aura.
Vibe, okay.
But I'll be at Publix and like the bag boy will be like, hey, like, I'm like, what the hell? Like everywhere I go,
uh-huh.
I'm not trying to say I'm hot and everyone hits on me. Not at all. I'm trying to say when there's in those situations,
energy and a vibe.
Even if they just want to chat, it's like, damn, I'm old enough to be your mom.
Yeah.
You know, I was buying, this is the ultimate compliment. I was at Publix and there was this young kid behind the counter, cashier, and I bought a bottle of wine and he asked for my ID laughing. I go, oh, honey, whatever you want for Christmas, it's yours. And he's like, you know, so like, what? And I said, when I show this to you, and he's like, are you upset? Most people get mad. I go, oh my God, I'm the opposite. He's like, not getting it, right?
Yeah.
He looks at my ID and he goes, oh my God. It was almost like on the loudspeaker. He goes, oh my God, I didn't know you were that old. I thought you were way younger. And I'm like, I looked at him, I go, really? And that's supposed to make me feel good. And we both just busted out laughing.
Yeah.
Like it was funny. And so, you know, it's a vibe.
Yeah.
It's a vibe. So you said, you know, the minute you look at someone's profile and you see 27, you're like, eh.
Give it a
second
look.
Maybe free your mind a little bit.
Okay.
And again, going out with them, you're not marrying them.
Uh-huh.
You know, just you got to start saying yes, no.
Okay, I like
or
that.
Or at least opening yourself up mm-hmm. to situations or people that you never... You think I thought I was going to marry an Egyptian 16 years younger than me?
Yeah.
Dude, I thought I was going to marry a doctor. And you know, I had it all figured out until I didn't.
Sure.
And then you just got to...
I like that. Open up your mind, free your mind.
Free your mind and go to where the love is.
All right.
That's it, boo.
I feel like we should end it there because we've done, I think, about an hour and 15 minutes,
yeah,
which is awesome.
Which is way too long. It should probably
we'll do an episode 2 then.
Yeah, we need episode 2.
All
and
right,
then we
done
need,
deal.
And then we need You Can't Make This Shit Up.
Okay.
A podcast, True Life Stories.
I like that. Done deal. Tara, awesome. Thank you so much.
Boo, next time I talk to you, you're going to have like slayed, gone out on like 5 dates, and it's going to be a different world. I promise
I hope so.
You.
All right. Bye, guys.